Would you go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we are thankful. God has blessed us once again to be back in His house. And we're thankful to see this good number that we come to be in the house of the Lord. We've got some visitors. We're certainly thankful that you would be here. That you feel welcome. And more than feeling welcome, we want you to feel like that you've been in a place that serves and honors the Lord. And that by being here that you've been in His presence. You know, to be in our presence, we're thankful that you would be with us in our presence, but we want you to leave and be able to say that you've been in the presence of the Lord with God's people. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world or the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, Jesus here is speaking in terms that no one has problem relating to. You take toddlers, and they understand the terms that Jesus is speaking on here. Or at least they're learning those terms. He's talking about value, gain and loss. You take a child and you say, do you want ice cream or broccoli? They know the value there. And what I'm going to lose here or I'm going to gain here. So I'll take the ice cream. So do you want to go out in the yard and play with trucks or do you want to go to mama grocery shopping? They figure that in their mind. Well, I think I would rather play in the yard. They're figuring out what's valuable to them. And so God is asking a question here. What is valuable to you? And so we all understand that. What is valuable to me? You know what's valuable to you. What's valuable to you might not be as valuable to me and vice versa. But as Jesus would ask his question, he said, well, put your soul in the balance. And then you take and you put the world on the other side and you decide which one's more valuable to you. What's more valuable, your soul or things that you can obtain in this world, all the flesh? What's more valuable to you? The flesh, the things you can get in the flesh, or your soul? And so, we put, you know, all your, put all your lofty dreams on one side, and eternity in a lake of fire on the other side. What really has value? That's a question we all need to answer. What really has value? Am I willing to seek after the world and miss out on heaven? Or would I rather turn and seek the Lord to be saved? So this morning, that's the question I want you to ponder as I try to preach, the question that I have to ask to all who are unsaved. What value have you placed upon your soul? Maybe you sit here this morning and you say, well, Brother Brad, I want to tell you something about being saved. I just have come to a place where I refuse to worry about it. Okay, so... so what value are you putting on your soul? Is it a stress-free goal that you're after? I don't want to be stressed with it anymore. I've worried about it long enough. I've had God convict me. I have, you know, considered salvation. I've tried to be saved. You know, I've done what I felt like I could do and I didn't get saved. And so I've just come to a place where I refuse to think about it anymore. I don't want to be stressed. So that's the value that you've placed upon your soul. To have a little temporary relief here in this life. And yet, let me ask you this. How's it working for you? To try to put it out of your mind, how's it working? You know, are you stress-free? You see, according to Scripture, this is what I believe. I believe that the Lord deals with hearts and the Lord convicts. And you may try to put it out of your mind. You may try to just put it on the back burner. But the Lord and His Holy Spirit, He knows how to continue to bring it up. You say, well, I wish I didn't have to worry about that. Listen, you better be glad that you do. That's God convicting your heart, showing you that you need to be saved, because God knows there's far more value in salvation than there are in just a few moments of living without stress. And so the Lord allows us to be burdened. He allows that burden to be heavy. I think about Felix and how that he wanted to hear the word of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. He wanted him to preach, but as Paul began to preach about temperance and about righteousness, about the judgment to come, as he would preach that to him, all of a sudden, God's Holy Spirit convicted him, and it was a very heavy conviction. The Bible said that he trembled. It caused him to tremble. And so he didn't like that. He wanted to put it away. He didn't want that stress. He didn't want that feeling. And so he said, go thy way, Paul, at a more convenient season, I'll call for you. So just to put the stress away. No doubt there's those that come to church and the Lord convict their heart, and they do their best just to get out of the door. Get out from under the stress, get out from under the burden as quickly as possible. I want you to know that that's a value that you've placed upon your soul. You may sit here this morning and say, well, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I have tried 100 times to be saved. Well, the question I have for you is that your limit? You tried 100 times, so you're through. Not going to try anymore. You know, is that where you draw the line? What I'm trying to get across here is, listen, dear lost person, there should be no line. You shouldn't draw a line with God and say, well, God, it hadn't happened by now, so it's just not going to happen, and, you know, I'm going to move on. Your soul, that is the most valuable thing that you have. And to be saved, there, as the old commercial goes, it's priceless. That's priceless. You cannot put a value on that. It's beyond value. It's priceless. And yet, here you are, you say, well, I've tried all I'm going to try. There should be no limitations. You should come before the Lord hungry each and every time. You should come hungry for the bread of life every day of your life. To be lost, there shouldn't be a day where you say there's other things more important. Because salvation is the most important thing. More important than anything else. But there's many that's what you're doing. Well, I've got to draw a line somewhere. If you've tried 100 times, or if you've tried 1,000 times, I want to encourage you this morning, try one more time. Only this time, try to take a leap of faith, trust it in Jesus, try to surrender. It almost sounds like it contradicts, don't it? Don't just try. Do. Just surrender. Give up. And let Christ save you. Give up this morning and put your faith in Him. Let Him do what He said He'll do. You know, you may say, well, Brother Brad, I want to be saved, but I feel like everybody's watching. And so, you know, first of all, you can be saved without anybody knowing that. Oh, perhaps, though, that's a stumbling block for you. Maybe it's that you're scared to let go. Maybe you're scared to ask for prayer. Is there someone here that you're lost, but you've never asked for prayer? Why is that? They say, well, I asked for prayer once. I asked for prayer 2 or 3 times over the years. Why is it that you feel like you can't ask for prayer? You know, God's people praying for you, that's a mighty power. Maybe you share this morning you're lost, but you're scared to release a tear. That's hard to really for me to understand, but I do know who the devil is and how crafty he is and how he can play tricks on our mind and what somebody might think is, well, you know, what I've got to do here this morning as the Lord can be in my heart is I need to maintain my composure in the eyes of others. So is that your price? To look good in the eyes of people. That's your price that you're putting on your soul. You're selling out mighty cheap now. If that's what, if the devil has convinced you to sell out your soul that cheap, because I'm here to tell you that the devil has falsely advertised you. He certainly has. The church here, I believe, probably would shed a few tears with you. Or it may be that you get saved. I know this, the church is going to rejoice with you. So whatever the devil's lied, you need to understand, you don't want to put that price on you, on your soul. It's far more valuable than what somebody might think. How somebody might react, you may say, well, you know, what if someone, what if someone doubts? Well, what if they do? You're not going to be judged according to what they think. Well, Brad, I want to walk down the aisle and ask for prayer, but what, I'm scared, I'm worried about that. Why I worry about that? This is a place where you can come and there should be an atmosphere here, and I believe it is here at Clear Branch, an atmosphere where you feel at peace to be able to just pour your heart out. If we can't pour our heart out before Almighty God, where can we? Maybe you've already made a profession along the way and you hope that that's good enough. You know, my wife, her and her family, they have a 7-family garage sale annually, or sometimes biannually, I guess. And every year, people come to that garage sale and never cease to amaze me. Little Mike, there's people coming there and they buy things that absolutely junk. I remember one time sitting there and someone come in and a child began to cry and she come running up and she had one of our kids' half colored coloring sheets. She said, "How much do you want for this?" It was a coloring sheet and our kids were coloring on it. It had scribble on it. "How much do you want for this?" She felt like, well, it had some value to her. This would keep my kid quiet while I shop. And then there's others that, and this don't happen very often, Brother Freddie, but I have seen it where that there's those that'll come in and argue that you're not charging enough for something. My goodness, you only asking 50 cents for this? You could get $4. I said, "Well, okay, well, it's $4. That's how much it costs." But there's a few. Oh, no, there's a few that'll come in each and every time that they have the garage sale. I say a few, more than a few. They'll come in and they'll look at something and it never fails that they try to offer you less than what you have it marked or what it's obviously worth. "This is a working microwave. You've got $5 on it. Will you take 2? Some of you wheelers and dealers, you know what I'm talking about here. You know, get a deal wherever you can. But, it just never ceases to amaze me at a garage sale now when it's already dirt cheap prices. And you come in with, here you have a $150 Craftsman set here, socket set. You've got it marked for $5. Will you take some pocket change and a piece of gum?" That's about how them things work. You see, this morning, you may beat someone down on price, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're willing and dealing, you can get somebody to come down off the price. You know, that's fine. But when it comes to salvation, God's price was set before creation. God made one way. He placed one price upon a soul. He said, the wages of sin is death. That's how much it's worth. If we're a sinner, that's what we have to pay, death. And yet, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He paid it all. He didn't pay most of it, and we've got to figure out how to come up with the rest. And we're not going to offer Him anything less than Christ alone. That's how much it's worth. You can't offer anything else. You can't take anything away. You can only trust that Jesus is enough. If your body was sick, you found out you had cancer, you found out you had some kind of dreaded disease, and you felt like that you could give the doctors enough money to fix your problem, you'd give everything you had. Most of us would. You may say, well, brother, I wouldn't do that. Well, that would shock me. But most of us would. We would pay whatever we have to pay. There's some people going to hospital and they have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of doctor bills trying to just last a few more years. Your soul is in more danger than your body ever will be. Your soul is in danger of everlasting torment. We think of hell. Hell is a place, it's a real place. We have a account of a real man that burning in hell and was, whenever the scripture was completed, he was already there burning, and he just wanted a drop of water to touch his tongue because he's tormented in those flames. The Bible says that there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to take those in hell and He's going to bring them out and He's going to judge them, not to see if they've done good enough or last long enough and now they can go to heaven. He's going to bring them out, show them the opportunity to be saved, and He's going to cast death and hell and all those the names not written in the Lamb's Book of Life into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Eternity. How much is your soul worth? The soul is more, it is worth more than anything else you have. And yet you don't have to pay a dime to fix it. You don't have to do a thing to fix it. The Lord said, look over to Isaiah. I'd just rather read it. Isaiah 55. I wasn't planning on going there this morning, but let's go there anyway. Isaiah 55. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Verse 1. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money. And without price. Wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread. Well, you looking out at the world. And you're spending up life. Trying to make yourself happy. Trying to get ahead. Trying to forget about being lost. He says, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. And eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, God is saying, let me offer you the best that I have. Wine, milk, that's the best that God has to offer, what He said. And I want to offer that to you without price. Of course, He's talking about salvation here. In verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. I want to encourage you this morning to call upon the Lord while he is near. Would you give, again, would you give the world to be saved? That's really the question I'm asking. Would you give up the world just to be saved? Would you sacrifice anything, do anything? Will you turn from sin and trust Jesus Christ? Because that's what God, that's the payment God placed upon salvation is. You've got to trust Jesus. And I say that, and it's almost sound like you're trying to earn salvation. You know, it's without Christ. It's without Christ. All you have to do is trust in what Christ has already done. Will you allow Jesus to save you? Will you allow him to be enough to satisfy you for all of eternity? By faith, accept your salvation. Last verse.